everyone, to the Justin Ryan Bizarro Show. I'm Justin Bizarro. I'm your host. That's B-I-Z-Z-A-R-R-O. You can find me on Instagram. That's where I mainly reside, at Justin Bizarro, again, B-I-Z-Z-A-R-R-O. You can find this show and Justin the Food Entrepreneurs, as well as the Centurion Leadership Italian, all on Spotify. So before I introduce our guest from Identity Labs, Alex Velez, I will just give everyone an update. I know I've got a lot of questions. We've started recording over the last few weeks, but I know everyone wonders where I've been the last 6 months. We have not released anything. I took a leave of absence from recording. I also recorded a lot of episodes that I haven't released yet with a lot of guests. And the main reason is I've been going through a pretty crazy transition and transformation in life. Including going to Denver Seminary this semester to study a Master of Divinity in Leadership. So that's been interesting. I've also changed who I am in a lot of ways and refocused and rebuilt who I am from being shattered into pieces. And if anyone ever had a relationship in their life with a person they love more than anything in this world, if anyone wants to know how much that is, you can go back to Justin the Food Entrepreneurs, the first maybe 60 episodes, and see who and what I'm talking about and how much I cared about this person. And you can listen to those episodes with a co-host I had. And when you deal with something, and no matter how hard it is, all you're looking for is honesty and truth. And that person, even though you know they're not being truthful to you, to your face, this happened in September, and tells you you need to give them the benefit of the doubt, and then you find out that everything they said to you in that conversation was deception, manipulation, and lies, especially with someone you've been for a long time, your life kind of shatters. And for me, it was time for me to hit pause, rethink about my life, try to find a career path temporarily and some insurance to get by, get through a health situation that I was still working through, and find out who I truly was, who I truly am, who I truly wasn't. And that took a long time. It took a lot of spirituality, getting involved in church, doing a program through Watermark Church called Regeneration, which is a 12-step program in finding Jesus Christ through brokenness. It's also, I had to find God and build a relationship with Him, and I had to find a new fellowship, including doing Evolve, which is where I met Alex, who we're talking to now, and just rebuild who I am. So I will say this, it wasn't that I didn't want to do the podcast, and it wasn't that I wanted to walk away from my commitment. I took a leave of absence. Originally, it was supposed to be a month, then that turned into 3 months, and now it's turned into 6 months. But it was time for me to refocus and rebuild my life. So if anyone's been broken into a lot of pieces, you know that rebuilding your life requires picking the pieces that you want and getting rid of the ones you don't want. And the only way you know what that is, for me, was to find God truly. Not that I haven't always been a believer and always been part of God, and God's always been a part of my life, and I've always turned my will over to His will and His and my plan over to His plan. But He had a different path for me, and He broke me in ways that I didn't even know were possible, and He took away the humans I love and cherish the most, some from my actions, much from not my own actions and my own decisions, because I will fight for the humans and the people I love and the creatures I love to death. There is no amount of money that I wouldn't give or I'm willing to go to a bottom for love. And love will always be more valuable to me than any amount of money. And love is enough for me, even though it's not enough for others. So let's get started with Alex. How are you doing today, Alex? Did I say your last name properly? Yeah, so Alex, let's talk about it. First, let's talk about how old are you? I love this. And so Alex is someone I met at Evolve, a conference that I went to a few weeks ago. And Alex reminds me so much of myself. okay, entrepreneurial probably from the day he was born. So, Alex, I'm going to give you the mic. I'm going to let you sort of tell your story. Take as long as you want. Let's talk about your journey to from when you were born to where you are now as an entrepreneur.
So I was born in Manhattan. My mom had me when she was 21. So it was definitely a surprise. The doctor told her she could not have kids, and then here I am. So that was a big learning curve for her, I'm sure, which led to her and my dad eventually split up. And then my mom and I, we were on our own. We were living in the Bronx. She eventually met my stepdad, and we moved upstate. And then he had found a job, which brought us down to North Carolina when I was younger. And I grew up in North Carolina, but went back and forth to New York a lot growing up to see my family, because I'm Puerto Rican and Italian, and I've got a really big Puerto Rican side. Anybody that's Puerto Rican or Hispanic likely also has a really big family. And you know, that was, I'm very grateful for my childhood to have both sides. That's something I honestly don't speak about a lot. I had two different families. You know, one was very strict and disciplined, and then one was quite the opposite. So I'm grateful to have been able to see just two types of life. I feel like it gave me good perspective growing up. And growing up, though, I, you know, was your normal kid. I played baseball, but I'd say that everything for me really started to shift around when I was 13. I was going to an early college, so I didn't go to a regular high school. I went to an early college, so I did high school 2 years and then college 2 years, and all of my high school years were inside of a college with only 30 other kids that were my age, so it was very small, consolidated, but you know, this, I feel, led me to wanting to explore other venues and other outlets of creativity and fun. So that is when I started my first Instagram page, and it was just a sports page. I'm a big New York Jets fan. Like I said, I'm from New York, so that's always been a part of me, and I wanted to do it just for fun. I genuinely just enjoyed sports. I enjoyed watching the cool clips, and what I would do is, it was so simple. I would find really popular clips, and I would time it up with the music, and then I'd start posting them. And after a few months of going by, you've got 100 views, 1,000 views, 10,000, 50, all the way up to 500,000 views a video, to the point where the account was reaching upwards of 1 million people a week. So this is when I started to see how, wow, online business, life, everything, there's so much more to it. And I just fell in love with the process of recreating that success I was having with that page. So that led me to then snowballing all of this into figuring out the skills that were required to take that page to the next level. And those things were video editing, graphic design, brand optimization, just you name it. So I started out really getting into the editing and design part of it. And eventually I created a logo for my page, and I started getting a bunch of DMs of people asking me, hey, where'd you get your logo? And I started selling them for like $1, $3. Sometimes I would even exchange it for an iTunes gift card, because I was too young. My mom didn't want me to open up a PayPal account or anything, because she didn't see the potential in it yet. And that just continued to snowball. I got graphic design, and then that led me to increasing the quality of edits that I was putting out. So I made a separate page to start posting those edits. And then that was recognized by a company that works with celebrities to design their merchandise. So once again, snowballing into another venture that I was very passionate about, I was able to design when I was 15 for over 250 celebrities, including 2 Chainz was the most notable that I had designed for his album that came out in 2017. Pretty Girls Like Trap Music is what it was called. And they dropped the merchandise that I had created, and it sold out in a day. I actually ended up having to pay double from someone reselling it online just so I could have one myself. So yeah, I continue to just snowball these skill sets. And from here, the graphic design and being able to do that is what showed me the potential of online business, because this was my first time really making money. And honestly, I wasn't even getting paid a lot for these designs. It was about $15 per design. Even for the 2 Chainz one that I did that sold out in a day, I only got paid $15 for it. So it shows how naive I was, but it also was what showed me the potential of business. And I feel like a lot of people wouldn't have accepted that opportunity because I didn't have a lot of leverage. I didn't get a lot. But for me, now I have that story and that experience for the rest of my life. So that's what exposed me to online business. And I just started to pursue new things and see what was meant for me. And I'm going to say this probably a lot on this episode, but I'm a firm believer in what I call the snowball effect, which is when, just like building a snowman, you start with a snowball and then that gets bigger and bigger until eventually you have a snowman that is a beautiful piece of art for people to look at. And I think that's how it goes with life as well. So from here, I actually was once at a graduation party, and I was networking with someone that was at this party, and they were like, you got to meet this guy. I know. I think you guys would get along so well. So I'm like, sure, let's do it. I'm always down to connect with someone. And that person ended up being a CEO of a multi-million dollar company. And the day that we met in his office, and we spoke for about 2 hours. I was 16 at the time, about to turn 17. And he hired me on the spot to help him with their social media, his personal brand, as well as the company's actual brand itself. Started working with them. I was 16, turned 17. I had my own desk in a corporate office with a name tag. And I was so grateful for the opportunity, because this is what showed me what real business was like and how a real business was run that was running through millions and millions of dollars. So to see that from the inside, I just knew that there was no way that I could go back to, or I could ever go to something as simple as like a desk job. Even though that was a desk job, it was a desk job that I truly enjoyed. So from there, I realized that anything I do from this point forward will be something that I absolutely love. And I was very grateful that at a young age, I found what I loved, which was digital media marketing. So like I said, I was in an early college, so it was a lot to juggle. So eventually I left that job, but was still in love with online business. So I started to continue to just dig and find new business models. And I found my forte in e-commerce and brand building. And that led me to helping be a pivotal role in scaling multiple e-commerce brands to 6 and 7 figures. Once again, snowballing all of that, I took all of those skill sets and put them together to what I now run, which is a marketing agency that helps people develop their brand on social media to build more trust with their audience, reach more people, and do it in the most effective way. So that's my story in a nutshell, but I'd be happy to touch on any specific points.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you have multiple Instagram accounts. Let's talk about social media specifically. Like, let's talk about, like, you talked about the snowball effect. You talk about the videos. Like, for you, like, if you're starting something or you have a client, let's say they have a 0 followers on Instagram, how would you start their account? How would you recommend to them to build an audience? You know, because one of yours, I think, has over 28,000 followers on, if I'm not mistaken, maybe more. But how do you build momentum? How do you build the snowball, for lack of a better term? How did you do it? I mean, at 21 years old, number one, your photography is phenomenal. If anyone goes to my Instagram, you can see Alex's photography skills that he's now complementing his social media skills with. But, and also, it's crazy because weirdly, when I've put your photos online, like, my account has gone through as just, I think I went up 1,000 followers just by putting your photos up. The quality of it, I don't know what the difference is between the photographers I've had before and yours, but or maybe it's my messaging. But weirdly, whatever you're doing or however you're doing it, it has what I'll call the Midas touch. And so, like, what are you doing? How are you doing it when you're doing the social media and stuff like that? And how are you creating the snowball?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think even with the photography, I try and boil everything down to a foundation. And for me, the photography is such a passion project. And I always try and capture the moment as authentically and as raw as possible. And also just understand, who are you even trying to target? Who do you want to speak to? Because if you don't have a clear idea of who you're trying to speak to, then how can you adjust your messaging properly and your content to speak to those people? So before you even start a page and start posting content, figure out, who do I even want this content to be seen by? And then once you get to that point of actually, now I know who I want to target, who I want to help, then it's literally just creating as much content as you possibly can until you find your quality. I use another analogy. It's if you've ever played the game Minecraft, whenever you find one piece of coal, there's always 10 more pieces behind it. So when you're creating content, as you continue to put out videos that are, the whole goal with them is to position you as the doctor that can cure your client's pain. And when you post enough of that, you'll eventually find one style that really resonates with that target audience, and you can continue to hammer away at that. And you can just change little bits and pieces until you have a perfect formula that will continue to build momentum. And then once it stops, then you switch that strategy and you continue to find that piece of content that will really work well for you. But it's all about the intent that you have behind it as well. I think actually wanting to provide value is going to show more than if you're just trying to sell someone, because people can see a front, but they feel authenticity. So I think it's really important.
Okay. And so I agree with this. Like, who are you displaying? It's taken me a while to figure this out. Like, just, and I didn't, and I will be honest with you guys in the audience, that while I've been a very public figure and I've done the podcasting for almost 6 years now, and I've been on social media and started building that over the last 4 years, and I've run very successful companies and had some very big failures also. One of the things that I suffered from on a personal branding standpoint, and even on a business standpoint, is who actually are we and who are we not? Because I you can't be everything to everyone. It's a cliche. Everyone says that term all the time. But the reality is sometimes we think we are someone or this human, but the reality is we aren't. And when we try to act authentically and vulnerable as that human we think we are, it doesn't do well in our social media. And same with the business. We think we're this business, but the reality is truly who, what is and who is the business. The businesses are humans. At least in the United States, businesses are set up as a human being. They act and function in our tax system no different than a human with a social security number. So that being said, you have to think about your marketing and advertising as a personal branding for your business. Throwing out buckets of information trying to sell a good is not going to build your brand. People will buy things from your business without having to sell them a single thing when you build good branding that's authentic and vulnerable to what the actual core values and what your goals are for a business. Now, I know that's hard for everyone to understand because everyone's like, sell, 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 click, click, click. But
yep.
That's not reality, actually. And you see the separation between the men and the boys in this field. And and you can see it in my own social media, who I was is not who I am now. And who I am now is more of an authentic, vulnerable version of myself because I went through an extremely broken period and had to figure it out. And my social media and my social media posts and the things I write about are more authentic and vulnerable because I've had this rock bottom.
Yeah. People feel that too.
So that's who I am. That may not be who you are. That may not be what your business is in the audience. But what Alex is talking about here is this foundation of being real, not trying to be who you think you are in the future, not trying to pretend you're something else, not trying to be the future version of yourself. Right now, who you are, what have I lived for, what is my testimony, what am I trying to do, and how can I help others? Same as a business, how can I help other humans? What does my product do for other businesses, or my service, or whatever? So, Alex, let's talk about this. You're very young by entrepreneurial stages, but considering I know what that's like, starting a business, mowing lawns and mowing fields when I was 7, fruit stands when I was 16, business out of my parents' basement with my father's help at 18 years old and some business partners. Like, I know what it's like to be young and entrepreneurial and driven. So let's talk about your personal what inspires you? What keeps you from going the direction that probably most of your peer group has gone, which is corporate America or education or whatever?
Yeah, I always coin it down to the two F's, fulfillment and freedom. You know, I think that everything that I do, I just want it to fulfill me and also provide me with a sense of freedom where I can live life in the way that I so choose. And as I was growing up and you know, seeing my parents work and seeing even their beliefs around my business when I was first getting started, when I was young, I had to convince them and show them with proof that I could actually do this because they were very inside of this mindset that you have to just go get a job. That's the only way. And I mean, the world isn't set up to create successful people. It's specifically created to make more taxpayers. And I think when you go through the system in the way that it's set up, I always use there's three things: time, money, and energy. And when you're young, you have time and you have energy, but you don't have any money. And when you're older, you've got energy and you've got money, but you don't have any time. And then when you're a senior, you've got time and you got money, but you don't have any energy. So for me, once I realized that, I knew that if I went down the path of corporate America or just taking what I could get, that I would never truly have all three of those things, which ultimately is most important for me to get to what my vision is, which is what I think everyone should have, which is a why. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? What are you working towards? And, you know, for me, that fulfillment and freedom encapsulates everything from a family to the travel experiences to being able to impact people and so many other things.
Yeah, I think you're 100% on spot on this. I think, you know, one of the things is we have all the time to learn when we're young that we don't get when we're older. Learning becomes harder. Then we have all this time to earn in our middle years, earn the money, work, create a business. But then in the end, like, we don't have the energy or the ability to learn as much because our body starts breaking down, our mind starts breaking down, whatever, but we have this money. And then we have to figure out how to live out the rest of our lives. And one of the things that I think that's good about what you said is that if we start building the capacity to continually learn, earn, and create our own energy, meaning time. How do we create time in our lives? Well, we get rid of things that don't add to our growth. If it's not adding to your growth, binge watching Netflix is not adding to your personal growth. It is not adding to your family's growth. It's not adding to your life growth, period. I don't care if you think it's good because you get a day off and it's stress-free. Okay, binge watching TV is not a growing thing, and it's not expanding your capacity to learn, and it's not improving your brain function so when you get older your memory is good. It's just not. Okay, and while you have the energy while you're young or even in your middle years, if you're not putting everything into earning and learning and working out to so your body produces more energy. I know it seems funny because working out may wear you down, but over time, working out builds more energy capacity. Period. No doubt about it. It's why I can 10x my day compared to anyone else. I can accomplish more in one day. I can go to seminary. I can do a job. I can record podcasts. I can do my homework. I can write papers. I can attend to issues because I don't really watch TV. TV is not a function of my success. It doesn't help me relax at all. It makes my life worse. Some of the greatest athletes in the world never turn on the TV. They have TVs in their home, but if they're not, they're either studying the game, growing themselves personally for the next life they have after their athletic career, working out, or preparing for the game that they have ahead, or working out in the gym, you name it, practicing their sport, spending time with their family, real time, quality time, not TV time. Okay, because if you're going to make the investment, you got to be careful of the things Alex just talked about. So I love this topic. I think it's spot on. So Alex, let's talk. Go ahead if you want to comment on that as well.
Yeah, no, I actually would love to because I feel like that's a point that a lot of people my age really need to hear and let sink in. Because I know there are so many things that I'm not even aware of because I haven't reached that age in life yet. But I know that by taking care of my body and my mental health and all of those things, that it will play into factor so much more when I get to that stage. And like you're saying, so many people, they binge watch TV and that doesn't add to their growth. But I feel like a lot of them don't even realize that at the moment until it's too late. So I think a good perspective to have is everything that you do, try and ask yourself if your 8-year-old self would approve of it as well as your 80-year-old self, because it gives you two different perspectives on allowing yourself to have fun and be creative and explore, but also make sure that you're being responsible and intentional with your actions.
100%. And, you know, I'm going to invite you on for a part two, Alex, just so you know, because we have a lot more to discuss and we're going to run out of time here. But before I take everyone off, I want to dive into this for a while, is your spirituality. It's a strong thing. One of the things you and I share as entrepreneurs is this strong spiritual, that we are given a gift by God, that we are not the ones doing it. God is working through us and he's blessing us with these gifts. You know, John Maxwell Leadership Bible, you and I both have one. We've talked about this. That spirituality is a core of who we are. And we have to accept that. And it's not a bad thing if you're an entrepreneur and you align your values, your morals, and your ethics with your Christianity or your God-like values if you're Jewish or Muslim. Okay? There's strong values there. So let's talk about this, your spiritual journey. How did you get to where you are right now? And where is it that you are right now?
That is a very deep topic. And honestly, the conversation that we had at Evolve has really changed my spiritual journey, or definitely has influenced it. And it hasn't always been a strong journey at all, like you were saying in the beginning. For me, I grew up in a non-religious family. Both of my parents they would never say that something didn't exist, but they would always say they just didn't know. So they just didn't engage in it at all. And that left it all up to interpretation for me as a kid. So when I was in early high school, as a freshman, I started to just get a little intrigued by it, because prior, since my parents weren't religious, that allowed me to go and experience practically every single denomination of Christianity. I've even studied with Jehovah's Witnesses to just experience all of the different perspectives and why they are where they are. So for me, like I said, when I was about a freshman in high school, I just got really called to the idea of Christianity. And I spoke to one of my teachers about it, because my parents, they weren't religious. So I just went to the only person that I really knew at the time that was. And he had told me that, you know, the one thing I'll never forget is you just have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I started to really engage in it a lot more and started to develop that relationship to the point where it was an extremely powerful part of my life. It was a big part of my life. Just constantly thinking about God, talking to God. I started eventually volunteering at a food pantry, and you know, being from New York, homelessness is something that I hold really close to my heart to want to be able to impact. But at this food pantry, I'd seen there were two people that ran it that I had eventually started looking up to as my spiritual guides. And it got to a point where they had gave me an ultimatum between business and God, because I was sharing everything that I was doing with them, because I was so excited about it and I wanted to share it with them, because I felt like God was working through me. And when I went through that, it completely derailed my relationship with God for many years, actually. And I really struggled with the idea of what spirituality even was. Was it the universe? Is it God? How do you define that? You've got astrology, all of these crazy things that I struggled to really get a grasp of. So over the years, these last few years, I've been really reflecting on that and what God is to me. And the conversation that we had at Evolve really changed my perspective on it, because I realized that God can communicate with you in many different ways and sometimes changes the way that he communicates with you. And I wasn't paying attention to the way that he was communicating with me. So I try and look for the really surefire signs of something being divine intervention. And right after the event, you sent a text to a group chat with everyone that was at the event in it. And someone had replied, I didn't even have their number saved, saying, I love my Maxwell Leadership Bible as well. And ironically, from my first job, they had given me this giant box full of, it was just a John Maxwell box. And I've had it in my closet ever since then. When I was 16 years old, I had this job. And I just grabbed the box and I looked in it. And of course, the Leadership Bible was in there. So that I took as a surefire sign that I was being called again to continue to walk the path. So I've been really just studying it a lot more. And even, you know, one thing that I wanted to mention was how in Genesis, he says to let man be like us. He made man in his own eyes. So I realized that when people say, oh, like, you are God, it's not that you are you are a divine being, but it's more so that you are made with parts of God. That's why we all humans are the only beings on this planet that just have a sense of connection with the divine. So it's been a long journey, but it's something that I'm very excited to continue to develop as I get older.
Yeah, in Latin, it's Imago Dei, meaning in God's image, I-M-A-G-O space D-E-A, I mean D-E-I. And but it's exactly what you're talking about. We're made in his image. Okay, we may not be God. We are sinful humans trying to live good lives, be good humans. Well, most of us anyway. Well, maybe not most of us, but a lot of us. And the thing is you're 100% right, is we have a chance as entrepreneurs or whatever profession we are in to not just go to church on Sunday and then leave all those values behind and then come back and go to church on the next Sunday. Every single thing we do in our lives is about that spirituality. How do I know? God has saved my life on numerous occasions. God has saved me from disaster. Even though it has hurt and I've lost the humans I love and cherish the most, he has saved me from further disaster and in the process forged me into a better human. Things that, it's 100% true. What I can't do for myself, God has done for me. And what I can do for myself, God leaves for me to do. I have to choose to do it. But I can't do those things if I'm wasting my life away. If I'm not taking every moment and every opportunity to be a man of God. And if anyone wants to know more about it, read, you know, the 2 Timothy chapters in the Bible or James. But my recommendation is Timothy 1 and 2 and Titus. Those things are phenomenal in terms of becoming men and women of God. So, Alex, where can everyone find you on social media? Where can they find Identity Labs? And how can they reach out to you and contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. And just really quickly to touch on that last point, there's an analogy. I love using analogies. And one that has really stuck with me that has allowed me to lean into just trusting God more, because I feel like a lot of people, they feel it's not standing in front of them and they can't see it, that it's just not there. And I feel like a good analogy is, imagine being on a plane and you're experiencing some turbulence and you're sitting next to someone and they don't know who the pilots are, but you do. You know that pilot, they're the best in the world, they've got this, they've been through the worst storms, but only you know that. So even though the plane's going through turbulence, that you know that they're going to get through, the person next to you doesn't know the pilot. So they are constantly in an anxiety and living in the fear of the unknown of what's going to happen next. So I try and hold that close to my heart. And same thing with the footsteps in the sand poem. I think that those are really two great analogies as far as trusting that God is there even when you don't feel him. So I just wanted to leave off on that. But if you guys would like to find me, I'm on Instagram. You can just search up my name, Alex Velez, and then replace the L's with a 1. That's my username now, but just Alex Velez on any social media platform, and I should be one of the first to pop up.
Awesome. Thank you, Alex. I'm going to send you the calendar invite, get you on for another part 2 so we can expand upon this further, because I think this is only the beginning. I want to jump more into spirituality. I want to jump more into entrepreneurship, and I want to jump on the show into some coaching and helping you out with any questions you might have for me. And so we'll just do it right live with everyone and start to grow this and see where it goes, if that's okay with you.
That is more than okay with me. I'd be happy to be a part of that, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you're from New York. I spent a lot of time in Queens, New York. It holds a special place in my heart. And Food Service Partners did the New York City hospitals food for 20 years plus. And, you know, millions of meals a year for the city of New York and all their hospitals. And so New York City will always hold a special place in my heart, for sure. I was married in Great Neck, New York. So, like, always a special place. I'm not married anymore, but that is where I was married. And so Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, my family came through the Bronx on Arthur Avenue as Italians. That was our foothold. So I love New York City. I love that we share that commonality. I love that you have New North Carolina in there, because I did go to Chapel Hill for my MBA. So,
yeah,
you know, awesome. There's all of that. And anyone in the audience, if you want to reach out or you're interested in being on the show, any of our shows, whether it's Justin the Food Entrepreneurs, the Justin Ryan Bizarro Show, or the Centurion Leadership Battalion, please reach out. You can hit us up on Instagram at Justin Bizarro. That's again BIZZARRO. If you want to email us, you can reach out to us at Justin@JustinRyanCompaniesPlural.com, and we can get you on the show. So that's the email address we are now using to collect all the information for the show. Also, again, if you want to find our shows, you can find us on Spotify. Again, that's the Justin Ryan Bizarro Show, which you're listening to right now, Justin the Food Entrepreneurs, as well as the Centurion Leadership Battalion. So, Alex, thank you again for joining us. And I appreciate your time. And the audience, I love you guys, and we're out.